Thank you, Miss Rachel. Good morning, everybody. Everybody awake? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody that's here, and we appreciate you braving the cold weather and the ice and snow, what's left of it, to be here and worship with us. We truly appreciate it, and I'm sure that the Lord will appreciate it if we brought our best intentions, we brought our best prayers, and our utmost faith into Him to worship Him today in spirit and truth. Appreciate our visitors as well. Let's start our singing service, Songs to Remember, number 6, the Yellow Book, as we called it, 259. Well, y'all are sounding good. Hopefully you can drown out the imperfections that are in my voice this morning. Turn over to 168, an old number where we'll never grow old. 168.
Oh, Thank you, Brother Sam. Good morning, everybody. Is everybody thawed out yet? I'm not. I'm still cold myself. Somebody said I have warm hands this morning. They don't feel that way to me. It's been a cold time. I'm glad everybody's here this morning. I felt like when we saw the snow coming down this morning, I figured the crowd would be down, but we've got a pretty good crowd today, not as like we usually have. I'm thankful for each and every one being here. I'm glad to have our visitors with us this morning. We've got some that's here for the first time. We thank you for coming, and I hope God blesses you for being here today, is what I hope He does. And I just pray that today's service will be what God will want it to be. And we just are thankful. I hope everybody is, I think all of you have gotten through the weather very well. Seems like you're here. And so that's a good thing. We only had a little spell where we was out. If you watch our Facebook Live, they had an accident down the road from us, and that caused our lights to be out for about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. But we made it fine. We just covered up in the bed. It was bedtime anyway. So we just covered up in the bed and was nice and toasty in the bed. So, but the bad thing about it was is when the lights came on, every light in the house was on. You'd think we'd have turned them out before we went to bed, but we didn't think about that. But I got up and turned every light out and went on about my bed, went back to bed after that. But I'm glad you didn't have that kind of problems, or at least I hope you didn't anyway. Let's be prayerful for the ones, though, that are still without electricity. My understanding, there's still several in Davidson County, several that are scattered around in other counties, and we need to be prayerful for them. I can't imagine being without electricity. I've thought about it a lot. Our forefathers, they thought this would have been natural. They basically had lamps. They had fireplaces and such as that. And they would have went through this, and they thought it's just natural. For us, we lose a phone service, we're shocked, aren't we? Nowadays, even our internet goes down. We're in terrible shape. But our forefathers, they tromped through all this weather and brought the gospel to us, and I'm thankful for them. I am. I'm thankful that our forefathers had enough love for God and for us that they brought the Word of God to us, is what I'm thankful for this morning. And I just pray that we'll all be more thankful for the preaching of God's Word, not because it comes from me, but because of the men that it does come from. It's good to see everybody today. Brother Stewart, I know you was planning on doing children's church. I don't believe we got many. You want to put that off to next week? We'll put it off next week, and hopefully the weather will be good enough that we'll have several of our children back next week. Or you can get up here and pretend all of these are your children, either one. I'll let you do either one. But we generally do have a children's church in which we spend a little time with our little ones just for them. But not many of them are here today, so we're going to forego that today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer then. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? All right. Let's do remember Brother Chris. His surgery will be tomorrow. I think she said they had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. So let's do remember them in our prayers. Remember Brother Chris, the surgeons. Let's remember them that They'll have hands that are guided by God. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart? Yeah. Let's do remember this officer's family. He was shot in the line of duty. And as she said, had 3 children, wife, and just a young man looked like from the picture I saw of him. And let's do remember this family in our prayers. Please do remember this. Somebody else? Lord help. Lord help. Bless you, miss. Miss Helen. Let's do remember her sister-in-law's family. That's a proof that you can get saved anywhere. Isn't it? You can get saved wherever you get your heart right. Said she got saved at her at Sister Helen's mother's funeral, and that's wonderful. That's not the first one I've heard of that like that in a funeral home getting saved. But that's God can do great things, can't he? Thankful that. Let's do remember this family in our prayer. Somebody else? Lord, help. Lord, help. Bless you, Brother Sam. Brother Sam will be preaching tonight, but he said remember their family. Of course, his mother's not well. Sister Priscilla's got family members that are sick also. We need to remember them. They've got cancer, and he's got some on his side too with cancer. But let's remember these lost ones especially. But let's do remember, Brother Sam. We are having Sunday night service tonight at 5 o'clock. Everybody come back. Brother Sam said, didn't know how many be here, but let's do what the Lord would have us to do. And if you can come back and be with us at 5 o'clock this afternoon, be here for that service. And Brother Sam's a very able preacher, so you remember him in your prayers. Somebody else? Let's remember the requests that have been made in the Sunday school classes. Let's do remember them. I will mention this. Brother Key said that Sister Faith, Sister Shirley's sister, of course she's been sick now for probably a year and a half more. Almost death door different times, but she's one of those that's been without electricity now for about a week now. So remember her and that, and let's pray that she gets her electricity back on today is what we'll pray for, but let's remember her also. Somebody else? I asked you to remember me in your prayers. If it's the Lord's will that I stand today, I pray that the Lord will give me the message that he wants me to bring forth today. Anybody else got a prayer request? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother John, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
Let's continue to sing. Number 240, song we all know, When We All Get to Heaven. First, second, and fourth verse.
Thank you.
Good, good. Turn back a few pages. 226. 226. Good Albert Brumley song. Have to forgive my interference I got going on this morning. Let's do one more number. Number 88.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Sister Rachel. I was trying to get Brother Sam's attention. I knew he was struggling voice-wise, but he kept singing. So thankful for Brother Sam, Sister Rachel, and all of our song leaders. Appreciate everything they do in the song service. I appreciate all of you for singing like you do. Sometimes your voice is not very well, and with this weather that we have, I think everybody's voice is a little bit struggling, whether it's the drainage or whether it's just a cold or sore throat. It puts a little bit of trouble on each and every one that's here, I think, in one way or another. However, we want to follow the Lord and do what God would have us to do. Does anybody have a word of testimony this morning? We're thankful for everyone that's here. If you will, turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. The 16th chapter of the book of Luke is where we'll take a reading lesson. I'll give you a minute or two to get there. We're only going to read two verses this morning for our reading lesson, and we'll go from there. I don't know how long this message will be. I do want to say I thank every one of you for coming out this morning. It was cold. Snow was flying. And it would have been easy for each and every one of you to have said, well, it's just too bad. I won't come. So I appreciate your coming out this morning. I want you to know that. I want you to know how much I appreciate you coming to the house of the Lord today. I believe God will reward you for that. And I can reward you in a lot of ways, but God is the real paymaster. So do remember that tonight, today in this service. I'll ask you to be prayerful for me. The last Sunday I got to preach, I had a little trouble with my voice, but hopefully it'll be fine today. You pray that the Lord will take care of it, is what I hope you'll do. I hope everybody's got turned to the 16th chapter of the book of Luke today for our reading lesson. Somewhat familiar reading lesson. However, we're going to take a little different spin today off of this particular scripture. If you'll drop down to verse 19, as I said, we're going to read two verses. And it says, "And there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores." And that's reading verses 19 and 20 today for our reading lesson. Usually when our preacher brethren read these verses, they're going to preach about hell, usually. However, today, as I said, we're going to take a little different spin with this today. We will mention about that. But our thought today, we're going to take out of these two verses. And let me just start by saying, did you realize this story, the main subject, yes, is about hell and its destruction and its torments, but there is a second, and actually I believe it's really and truly the greater meaning of this story that Jesus told. I want you to notice, first of all, I did not call it a parable. Jesus did not call it a parable. Many people did. A parable is a story that has a meaning to it. I believe Jesus told this story as an actual event. Jesus, in his knowledge as God, as being God, he had wisdom about him and knowledge of those individuals that go into a devil's hell and those that go to heaven. So basically what you have here is a difference of being saved and not saved. And that's going to be a lot of our thought here today. But the thought that we're talking about is the fact Did you ever notice, and I mentioned this, so I would hope everybody had, did you ever notice that it gives Lazarus, Jesus gave Lazarus's name, but he didn't give the rich man, he did not mention his name. Well, there's a reason behind that. God does know everything. And yes, God knows every individual in the earth. But I want you to understand, God does not necessarily know everybody's name. It sounds a little odd to say that, doesn't it? A sinner is not on, we'll say, a first name basis with God. A sinner does not have the ability to pray to God about other things other than his soul. He can pray, but and God will hear those types of prayers. But what I'm trying to get over to you is God knows us that are saved. He knows us personally is what he does. And that's what we're going to try to speak to you about. The thought that this thought came from one day this week, I was listening to a gospel music station that I listened to. I don't think it reaches down here, but they play this song occasionally, and it's got a little story at the beginning about the song. And I'm going to give you the song story as quickly as I possibly can. And in the story, there was a missionary that was doing mission work down in Mexico. And he said they were driving down the road, and all of a sudden they came upon a roadblock that was there. And he said it was not the police, it was the Mexican drug cartel. And he said these men were stopping each car and going through the car, and he said there was two cars in front of him, and he said they drug the driver out of the first car and proceeded to beat him to death. He said they came to the second car, and they drug him out and did the same thing to him. He said they came to my car, looked at me, and went past that car and went to the next car and dragged that man out. He said, I didn't know why he did that. But he said, just about that time, he said, I heard gunfire. And he said, my family was in the car. He said, we had a CD that was going on in the car. And he said, we struggled to get out of the car. And he said for the next 30 minutes while gunfire went off between the police that had came up behind them and the drug cartel, he said we laid in the ditch. He said we laid in the ditch. And he said apparently in the struggle to get out of the car, we hit the repeat button on the CD player. And he said for the next 30 minutes, we listened to a song that said, God knows my name. And that's my question today. Does God know your name? It's a good question, isn't it? Does God know who you are today? And the best way I can answer that for me is, oh yes, he knows my name. We got to be personal friends on a July night when I was knelt at an altar, and I had gotten to a place where I didn't have any hope of getting saved, and actually I had given up on the actual idea of it until the boy next to me, he had gotten saved, and he said, Mama, I'm saved. And when he said that, I went back. I thought, God is here, and I want to find him, and I want to be saved right now. And it was just a little while. I can't tell you how long it was, but it was just a little while when God knew who I was and I knew who he was. You see, today it's important for God to know who you are. It's important for you that God would give you his testimony, first of all, into your heart that you are one of his children. You see, when God saves you, you're adopted by God. We are not children of God naturally. We're naturally children of Adam, aren't we? Adam sinned and we have his nature. And truthfully, this body will always have that nature. But our souls can be saved, made safe, made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by doing that, we have the privilege of having our name known by God. You know, one of my favorite songs that I love to listen to is a song by the Inspirations, and Brother Sam does a good job of singing them. I'm not going to ask you to do that today, but it says, "My name is already there." Now, what the scripture says, Jesus doing the speaking, he said, "There is more rejoicing in heaven over one soul that repenteth than over 99 which repents not." Now, how in the world do those people up there know that we get saved? Well, the scripture tells us that there is a great big book up in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not to be mistaken with just any old book. There's a scripture in the 20th chapter where it says we'll be judged out of the, quote, books. That's plural, isn't it? But it says in verse 15 of the 20th chapter, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, when you go back to the story of Lazarus and the rich man, the Bible said that Lazarus died, and the rich man died also. And what the verse, next verse says, that in hell he lifted up his eyes in torments, is what it says. So there was a difference between these two men. I didn't say what the difference was when Lazarus died. It said that the angels bore his soul unto Abraham's bosom. I believe that's in God's presence is where that is. But Lazarus was taken by the angels up into heaven. Why was Lazarus carried up into heaven? Because he was a beggar and laid at the rich man's table or at his gate. Was that the reason? Maybe it was because, as the scripture said, that he had sores on his body, and the fact that the dogs licked his wounds is what it said about him. Maybe that was the reason. Actually, I don't believe that was the actual reason. I believe there was a time when Lazarus not only begged for the crumbs of the rich man's table, but he begged God for the crumbs of his table. We find that there was a woman in the scripture whose child was sick. She was a Phoenician woman, I believe is the way it puts it. And she came. She would have been a Gentile, in other words. But she came to Jesus and she said, "Can you help me with these things?" And Jesus, in every other instance in the Bible, he never turned anybody away. But this woman, he actually turned her away. Didn't sound like Jesus, did it? But he turned her away, and later she came again and she cried to the Lord, "Lord, can you help me in this circumstance?" And he said, "It's not meant for me to give unto dogs." Now, you might say, well, he was insulting her. In a sense, he was, but in the Jewish eyes, that's the way they considered the Gentiles. They were nothing to them. But he said, "It's not meant for me to give the bread that's meant for the Jewish people. It's not meant for me to give it to you." But she said, But even the dogs get the crumbs out from under the table. I don't know about you, but I'm a messy eater sometimes. And there's crumbs that falls down. And there's many times I want something to come along and clean it up where I won't have to. Well, that's what they did in those days. They wanted the dogs to take the crumbs that was there. In other words, she was saying, Lord, just if I'm a dog, just let me have a crumb of this. I want to be your child, in other words, is really what I wanted in that day. And that's probably what Lazarus did. Lord, just let me have one of your crumbs. It don't take much of Jesus' blood to save a soul, does it? I've often wondered, just how much does God apply to a soul when he saves it? The Bible says it's by his blood that we are cleansed, doesn't it? I mean, if his blood is applied to my soul, how much does it take? Maybe we could stick a needle down into a little bit of blood and hold it up there, and we kind of say, maybe that's how much it takes. I don't even believe it takes that much. It's just a fraction. You see, Jesus' blood is so wonderful and so great that when that he saves our soul, he cleanses us completely is what he does. But then what happens after that? I talked about the rejoicing in the presence of the angels that was there. And I said, how did they know that their names, that these people got saved? Well, there would have been the witness of God in that day. But I also read to you about those people that were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to understand, if there's people that's found that's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means somebody is. Get that. Is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who is that? Those whom Jesus saves. That's who it is. Now you might say, well, I don't know about that. I want you to go with me over into the book of Psalms, if you would. I love these verses here. It talks about the church itself in these scriptures. Yeah, it's not mentioned as church, but that Jesus was going to do, was going to make. But the reference here is about Zion. Now, yes, Zion, as far as Jerusalem, the town, in God's eyes, especially in the days of David, it was a precious place. But he says, and of Zion it shall be said, this man and that man was born in her. Back up a second. Zion here is a reference to the church. And I want you to notice something here. He says that this man and that man was born in her. In other words, God notices when people get saved because of the church itself. Now, the first thing you're going to say, now, wait a minute. You said a while ago that you didn't have to be in church to get saved. I did say that, and I agree. I did. So what was he talking about? Through the influence of the Lord's church, the Lord recognizes when people get born into the house of God, into the family of God. He said, they'll notice this. But I want you might say, well, how do you know he's talking about the church itself? And the highest himself shall establish her. You know what that means? He says he founded it. He put it together. You know, there's many people today that's got in their minds that everybody that's been saved from Adam all the way to now is a part of the church. That's not true. It had to be established first. Who did the establishing? Jesus himself did. And when he established his church, and this is the part that I want to bring to your mind here in this sixth verse, and the Lord shall count when he rideth up the people. When does God ride up when somebody gets saved? Where does he ride it up? Does he ride it on the church books? No. We're not that good at record keepers, are we? We ourselves, Miss Ruth does a fine job keeping books. Don't get me wrong about this. But I've even heard her say, somebody not too long ago, do you know when it was that I got saved? She said, I went back and looked. We didn't have it down when you got saved, but we showed when you joined the church, when you got baptized. She said, I would think it was probably that year. But what we didn't recognize as far as their salvation and putting it into records, we did put it in there as far as them joining the church and being baptized. But what God was looking at was when that one was born in that place. When they was born of the Word of God, not because of the church, but because of God's Word that he brought out. But the Lord shall count when he rideth up the people that this man was born there. So what does he ride up? He rides us up as a new person. Now, did you ever notice that God likes to change names in the Bible? Hey, Abram came into the picture in the book of Genesis, and he was called Abram. His wife was called Sarai. But later on, God changed his name to Abraham, and his wife was called Sarah. Now, I'm not going to get into definitions, but do you ever notice that Jacob also got a name change? Jacob, when he had wrestled with the angel of the Lord, as the scripture tells us, that he wrestled with the Lord all that time there in the book overnight, as the scripture says. And Jacob said, I just want a blessing from you. And what the angel of the Lord did in that day was he changed Jacob's name. Jacob's name originally was Jacob, meaning a thief, a deceiver. He said, Israel is going to be your name, and you're going to be a father of nations. You're going to be one that's trustworthy. God gives us a new name is basically what he does. You want proof of that? Go over to the second chapter of Revelation in the second chapter. And you know the second, third chapter, he's talking to the churches of Asia. In this chapter, Jesus is talking to them. And here, he's talking to the church of Pergamos. And in the 17th verse, and bear with me as we go through the start of this, but Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Now, you might say, what's the hidden manna? That's this word. That's our word here. And we are given to eat of this, to indulge in the word of God and to enjoy and to help us to grow. Paul talked about the word of God and how that we would we couldn't stand the meat of the word on the start. We started out with the milk. But as time came on, he said, you need to get into the meat of the Word of God. Then he says, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name is written. I think that name is in that white stone, and we get our name written in our in heaven at that time. What God has given to us is the ability to be his child, to be known of him, to be able to say he's our heavenly Father. He is my God. He is my Heavenly Father. And God knowing who we are in that way. Not just a formal way. How many of you's got a friend? Maybe you saw them once or twice. You were introduced to them. And you might basically call them an acquaintance to them. That's the way that God looks upon the human race. Now, I think God knows them as the individual. I know a lot of people as individuals. I've met a lot of people over the years, and I've listened to them talk at different times, either on phones or something like that. And I can call them acquaintance. I might even know their actual name. But as far as being one-on-one with them, being a true friend, being in a relationship with them, listen to me, that's different, isn't it? You that have been blessed to have children. One of my great nieces had a little baby the other day. They finally got it out of NICU yesterday. And I'd called my nephew and asked him about something. And he said, we're down here. They got the baby out of NICU. A little later, I saw where Jeff's wife, they had a picture of her holding that baby. Grandchild. Wasn't her first. Paul said, I'm jealous. But you can see that relationship. They gave him the name of James Thomas. I believe it's right. I think that's right. She was starting to know James Thomas personally. No doubt they looked at the window, through the window, and saw that little child. Now it's one-on-one. That's when God knows you. When you're born into His family. Kristen, I don't know what they did. I know what they do generally at these hospitals when a mother has a child. I can remember when Patrick was born. They took that child, took that baby, they laid him up on Paul's chest. That became a bond. After a little while, they gave me a chance, and I helped him from right there to there. Every chance I got, I took hold of that boy, and I got to know him. I did it with all of my kids. You've done the same things, haven't you? You that's got children. But it becomes a one-on-one thing that's never broken, is it? That's what God does with us when He takes us into His family. He gives us our name. God may recognize me as Ricky, I don't know. I may have an Israeli name. I don't know what He's given me. It don't matter to me as long as He calls me. I'm not talking about just for supper time either. When He calls me, I'm going to know His voice. I'm going to hear His voice. I'm going to know that He's calling for me. How about you? How about you? Does God know your name? Does He know who you are completely? Or are you just an acquaintance with Him? That's the thought I want to put into your hearts today. For us that's saved, I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be in our hearts today, truthfully out loud. We ought to be lifting up our hands. Thank God they know Him. That's the way we ought to be today. I'm thankful today that the Lord knows who I am. I'm thankful today that God knows who I am. Praise God, He does. That's my message, Brother Sam. While we stand and sing, if God doesn't know who you are today, oh, today's a good day. Today is a good day for you to get to know Him personally. While we stand and sing, you can seek Him up here. That's what these benches are set aside for. They're a good place to pray, but they won't save you. These benches around here on front, they're a good place to pray, but they won't save you. You can get saved where you're at, but that bench won't save you. Nobody here can save you. You need Jesus today. You need Him to know exactly who you are. While we stand and sing.
Number 96. 96.